Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
The Friday edition of Sports Time Radio, and it seems like we're having a little better luck with the music today to start the podcast than we did yet to end it yesterday. So let's see if we can stay on a roll.
Start spreading the news.
All right, and if everything works, Schomburg Stu should be in here with me. Stu, how you doing?
All right, what's going on, John?
Oh, you know, lots of fun stuff. But if you want to join in with Stu and I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, we still got about a month and a half to get Stu on Twitter, but feel free to hunt me down at Burke Time, and I will forward any questions, comments, or anything else along to Stu. So there we go. We're off and running now.
I think we're off and running.
Oh. All right. So, obviously, the big sports story is what happened towards the very end of the Steelers-Browns game last night when, Myles Garrett went a little, let's call it crazy. Had an incident with Mason Rudolph, ended up ripping the helmet off his head. And during the altercation was actually dumb enough to swing it at him and hit him on the top of the head. Now, there have been some ramifications here. Garrett has been suspended indefinitely. They did say for sure it will be the rest of the season, and they are going to meet with him Roger Goodell is going to meet with him to see. Marquise Pouncey, who is the Steelers center, and was the one that really was wailing on Garrett after they took him down. He got 3 games. And then Cleveland defensive tackle Larry Ogunjobi picked up a game, and I believe that's because he knocked Rudolph down in the end zone as the situation was progressing. Obviously, I didn't see this live. You know, I was well asleep by then. The game as a whole wasn't very good. This was probably the best part about it. Did you happen to see it, or have you caught highlights, or what do you know here?
Well, I caught highlights of the game. I didn't see the end of the game, and I guess that's kind of an upset because I believe Cleveland beat Pittsburgh, and that was a little unexpected because they're not having a very good season. And I'm quite interested when they say that he's suspended indefinitely. And are you sure when they say that it's at least the rest of the season, that's a given, which means that maybe he'll be suspended for some games, maybe 3 or 4 games into the beginning of next season as well. But I wonder when they make that announcement.
Yeah, well, you know, they have decided that it's minimum is all of this year and any postseason if Cleveland happens to get in it. They also announced that each team was fined $250,000. I assume there'll be some more fines. I got to figure Mason Rudolph gets a fine, and the other Steelers lineman, David DeCastro, who took Garrett down, will probably end up picking up a fine as well. I don't know, you know, if or when we'll have to see who else may have been involved, but yeah, it was a really strange situation. And I'm actually quite surprised on how many commentators I've seen that have tried to lay the blame off on Rudolph for this. You know, like I heard somebody say that, you know, actually I don't think it was a commentator. I think I saw somebody post it that he believes Rudolph hit Garrett in the man region. What actually started this all was Garrett took Rudolph down long after he had thrown the football, which would have been roughing the passer anyways. I don't know what the hell he was thinking on that part. It was just really a cheap shot in a game that Cleveland was going to win. You know, they scuffled on the ground. Now, Rudolph did grab Garrett's helmet, but obviously Garrett's a defensive lineman, so he's the stronger of the two, ended up ripping Rudolph's helmet off. And, you know, the lineman jumped in to break it up. And, yeah, obviously Rudolph was upset. You know, there's no way he was going to lay there and take it. So, you know, I'm not surprised at all that he got back up, and obviously that escalated it, but I don't blame him at all for his actions. And I just found it shocking that there were commentators that just expected him to lay down there on the ground after he got his helmet ripped off.
Yeah, I was surprised that there were so many commentators, online at least, saying that he was the one that caused the situation. And that's kind of hard to believe. Yeah, I'm assuming that Deere was flagged for a 15-yard penalty for hitting him after the play was over. Was that the?
Yeah, I believe
that happened.
I believe everybody was flagged. So, you know, there were plenty of flags thrown. I don't know what actual penalties they marked off. You know, I know they dragged both the coaches on the field to try to decide if they even wanted to play the final 8 seconds. So.
You know, it's really hard for me to blame the players who defended the quarterback after he threw the helmet at him. I think that some of those penalties were unjustified. You have to protect the quarterback, and he threw a helmet at the guy's head, and I don't blame the players for defending that. And did they get a couple of games suspended and when they did that?
The one Steeler got 3 games, Marquise Pouncey. But to be fair, he did throw punches and kicks. So I can see why he got that. I know he is appealing, so I won't be surprised to see that get reduced to 2. But, you know, because even defending, you can't be punching guys.
No, and doesn't Garrett have some kind of a history of violence of this? This is not the first time he's been involved in an incident like this.
Just this year alone, he's been fined $50,000 for punching Tennessee Titans tight end Delanie Walker. And then he was also the guy, I don't know if he was penalized for it or fined, but he was the guy who put the hit on then Jets quarterback Trevor Siemian. That apparently was late. I don't remember much of the play, but apparently it was a late hit that broke Simeon's leg and took him out for the season. So this is now the third incident involving Garrett.
Do you think that he'll be suspended for the entire next season as well as the rest of this one? Or will they just make it for the first maybe 7-8 games?
I don't even think they're going to go that much because, you know, he's going to miss 6 games this year. I'm guessing 1 or 2 next year, so he'll miss an entire half of a season. You know, because luckily no one was hurt. You know, Rudolph did take the helmet to the head, but it didn't hurt him, which was a gigantic, you know, a gigantic plus there. So I think... You know, if it ends up at 8 games or even if it ends up at 7 games, I think that's a good enough suspension to hopefully get this guy to kind of wake up and, you know, figure out what the heck he's doing.
When someone is suspended like this, they don't get paid, correct?
No, yeah, they do not get paid. So in some instances, they don't even let them around the team.
But, yeah, that was certainly one of the worst cheap shots that I've seen in a long time. And
yeah.
Yeah, especially in today's way of football now, they protect the quarterback so much, and when you see something like this happen, that really throws up a red flag.
Yeah, I just don't understand what the hell he was thinking. You know, and the sad part was, it was in a game Cleveland won. You know, that play wouldn't have determined the outcome. And you just wonder what got into him. The Browns ended up winning 21-7. They improved to 4-6, knocked the Steelers to 5-5. And it's a division game, so that's even more. I'll be interested to see how this goes. I believe they play again in 2 weeks. So you wonder if there's going to be any hard feelings kind of lingering over.
Well, don't forget that the majority of the players involved in the scrimmage won't be involved in the next game.
Yeah.
But that they could still have some bad feelings lingering over. I expect there might be a confrontation or two. I hope it's not as it was last night, though.
So yeah, and you just wonder what the hell is going on in Cleveland. You're looking at a team with all this talent, and somehow they're 4-6. They were a trendy pick to make the Super Bowl this year. And I don't know. Garrett's their best defensive player. So yeah, I don't know how much this hurts them. I know their schedule is pretty easy going down the stretch here, these final six games. But their stupidity seems to get in their way. Looking at it here, they've got the Dolphins, who have won. They're actually won their last two games, which is kind of humorous because they're supposed to be tanking. Then they meet the Steelers again. The Bengals haven't won a game yet. They get the Arizona Cardinals, who are decent. The toughest game is their second to last week. They've got the Baltimore Ravens, who are the best team in that division. But then they wrap it up. If they're in a must-win situation or anything the last week of the season, they got the Bengals again, who aren't going to be looking to win a game.
I don't see them running the table, and I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year as a wild card. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, well, they'll beat – you got to figure they're looking at a minimum of probably 4 wins on that schedule. 4-2 would get them to 8-8. I don't think that's going to be good enough. They're probably going to have to find a way to win at least 5 out of 6, and I don't see them beating the Ravens. So they can't afford a loss to anybody else. No slip ups, nothing like that. And this isn't what this team does. They have a tendency to nod off and go to sleep and miss out on all kinds of things.
Yeah, this is certainly, as you pointed out, they were kind of a sleeper pick for really being a primal contender this year and maybe even advancing all the way to the Super Bowl, but that's not going to happen. And so some of the popular picks, they've got to be one of the more disappointing teams in the league.
Yeah, right up there with the Bears. It looks like they have 5 teams ahead of them in the standings right now. And even with an easy schedule, that's a big hill to climb over. So, we'll have to see where they end up. But, yeah, it's been a hugely disappointing season for Cleveland. There's no other way to look at it.
Well, look at it from this point of view. There's 5 teams ahead of them, and there's only 6 games left. It's not like baseball or even basketball or hockey. I mean, you're not going to make up all that ground in 5 teams in 6 games unless you run the table and rely on some of the other teams to lose ahead of you. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
So, yeah, and then, I did see, and now this, people got to remember, this was kind of the other thing they jumped on Mason Rudolph about. This was his agent who made the comment, and they did their best they could to associate it with Rudolph, but I believe this was said before any of this came out. His agent actually said they were considering weighing legal options against Myles Garrett. I don't think it'll ever come to that. That's just something an agent says. But I really need the media to pay attention where they're getting their info from, because you can't attribute a comment to a guy who didn't make the comment.
Right. And what are they going to start talking about? Actual criminal proceedings against Garrett because of what happened? That's not going to happen.
Because I know they've done it before, but I know, like, the police aren't even investigating it. And you got to remember, this happened in Cleveland. So they're not going to go out of their way to go after one of their hometown players.
No, nothing will come of that. Just the suspensions and the bad will and the bad rep for the NFL for something like this to happen. And I'm wondering if the referees last night could have done something to stop most of that skirmish from happening.
No, you know, after looking at the highlights, no, there's no way. Because especially, you're looking at, nothing against the refs, but they're generally older, smaller men. They're not stopping these, 260, 300-pound monsters from any of that stuff. There was just no way. One of them would have got killed if they would have jumped in.
Yeah, there's some strong humans involved in that confrontation last night. And, yeah, maybe Garrett is a big fan of the WWE. I don't know, with tossing the helmet at the quarterback.
So, but, all right, well, that's enough. That's enough BS, because I'm going to throw this name at you, and you can tell me what you think. What do you know, or what do you think about Shogo? I'm going to go with Akiyama.
Well, I would give him a pass immediately. He's never played in the majors, and he's 32. I mean, why would you even consider this guy at this stage of his career?
I've got him as 31, but he'll be 32 in April. He spent all 9 years playing in Japan for the Cebu Lions. So, he hit .303 last year with 20 bombs and 62 RBIs, did steal 12 bases. But the reports are that it appears that he's going to be posted, and the team with the most interest in him is the Chicago Cubs.
Well, I've got two words for the Chicago Cubs. And
are they
Kosuke
Fukudome?
Those two words are think Fukudome, right. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Now, how did that one work out for them?
So.
It worked out good for a few weeks, but that's about it. No, I think it would be a major mistake on the Cubs' part to even consider this guy. I just don't understand their thinking.
On the plus side, it does appear that he's played every game for the past 5 seasons, so at least he's healthy.
Well, I think we discovered by now that there's a big difference between MLB and Japanese baseball.
Yeah, but some of those guys come over. Look at Ichiro. He was a star.
Right, but how many Ichiros have there been?
Well, what's his name? Hideki Matsui had a really nice career here, and there was a catcher who played pretty well but got homesick and went home. I can't remember his name. He was a Mariner. So, there's been some guys. I mean, maybe, he could be the next big thing at 32.
Right, and that's the key. That's the key, right? And Ichiro, when he came over here, how old was he when he started playing?
He was close to 30.
Was he?
He was older.
But I think that would be I think the Cubs would be better suited to trying to address some of their top players and whether or not they're going to unload them or keep them and what they're going to do with that as compared to getting this guy to solve the problems.
And I Yeah, I did misspeak. Since he has 9 years of service time, he's actually a true free agent. He doesn't have to go through the posting system. So they he can just, if he wants to sign, he can sign. It appears the other team with some interest is the Arizona Diamondbacks. So we'll see where he ends up.
Now this guy's what? He's an outfielder?
Yeah, he's center fielder.
Right. Of course, the Cubs need a center fielder, but would you rather have Hayward in center than this guy?
I don't know. I've never seen him play defense. I don't know much about it, but, you know.
Yeah, I looked at his stats, and I don't think he's much of a long ball hitter.
He hit 20 bombs the last three seasons, 25, 24,
yeah.
And 20.
Yeah, would you consider Japanese baseball AAA at the best?
Well, I don't even know if I would consider it that.
Probably
but,
not
you
even
know,
that.
I mean, he could solve that big issue of the Cubs needing a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I would, my recommendation is they give this guy a pass.
Oh, that's terrible. So, yeah, and it appears right now the other Cubs newsier here is apparently it is Javi Baez who the Cubs have targeted to attempt to sign to a long-term extension this season, or this offseason, excuse me. That leaves, obviously, Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, and Kyle Schwarber just kind of hanging around. So it looks like Baez is going to be a Cub, and who knows if these other three will even be on the team.
Well, certainly Schwarber had an impressive last half of the season. You can't take that away from him, and maybe he finally figured it out. The question is, can he do it again next season? But
he's still a DH.
He was very solid there. Yeah, he did make a couple of bad plays in the outfield, but we all know that he's not a gazelle out there. But what the heck, he's as good as Castellanos in the field, isn't he?
Well, Castellanos actually played pretty well in the field when he was here. That was very surprising. But, doesn't matter what he does. He's a DH. So.
Yeah, once again, the question is if they do peddle Schwarber to the American League, for example, will they get prospects in return, or will they get something of quality that they could insert into their lineup?
No, all they're looking for is prospects. They're looking to rebuild the farm system. You know, with the mess that is, they need help there, and they've got to find ways to get younger because, everybody on the roster is old now. You know, they're not a young team anymore. So you've got to start refilling it in and try to, work everything out.
Well, it took several years for the Cubs to become a contender under the current ownership, and I hate to see them regress and start to rebuild.
Well, sadly, they're going to have to. You know, you can't keep all these guys. There's no way to sign all of them, so they're going to have to figure out something, be it, Schwarber or Bryant or Contreras or, like I said, look at Baez to stay in. But, the other guys are probably going to have, they might have, two of them might actually have to go. And, I know Contreras has been a popular target, but the more I looked into that, the stupider that sounded to trade him and then go out and spend big money on a free agent catcher, just give it to him.
I wonder if Marquee Network is going to put any pressure on the Cubs' ownership to kind of think twice about making these moves.
Yeah, well, unless they're going to be willing to pick up the luxury tax, they're not going to have much of a say, because the Cubs are, once those guys start coming around, the Cubs are going to be way over, actually probably starting next year if they all stay and all go to arbitration, with what they're due to make. I mean, Bryant's probably going to be close to a $20 million award this year. And those other guys aren't going to be too far behind. Let me see if I think I have some projections here, if my computer will catch up to me. Yeah, Bryant is here. Here's their list of arbitration guys. Bryant's estimation is 18.5. Baez is at 9.3. Schwarber is at 8 million. Contreras is at 4.5. And then the other guys like Addison Russell is 5.1. Alberto Almora is 1.8. And then Kyle Ryan is 1.1 if he hangs around. So, you know, if they're still unsigned next year, all those tags go up. That probably puts Baez and Schwarber over 10 million. Bryant clearly over 20 million. You've got a big Jason Hayward contract. I believe Anthony Rizzo's deal is up. So you're looking at another big contract signing there. It's going to be too much money. You know, you can't keep them all unless you're willing to pay that big time tax, and no teams really are.
No, and why is Chris Bryan so much higher than the other players, especially after the last two seasons he had, which are not all that great?
Well, he had a good year last year. You know, there was nothing wrong with the year he had last season. So, and I believe he's a year ahead of everybody. I think everybody else is 1 year behind him. So that's what makes his salary bigger.
And he also has a grievance coming up too.
Yeah, they're still waiting. You know, yeah, if that grievance comes through, then he's even one more year ahead of everybody else, which he is right in, but that's the fault of the Players Association, not the Cubs. So,
right. And I know you said that you thought he had a pretty solid season looking at the stats, which he did. But I watched quite a few of the games, and with men on base, he was pretty bad, I thought, for most of the season. Even though he batted in two spots,
yeah,
he did come up several times with men on base and failed dismally.
Yeah, arbitration doesn't look at those stats. They're just looking at what he did. Those will be the stats the Cubs will try to use to win their case. But, you know, when arbitration comes up, that's stuff that doesn't really play into the decision.
Yeah, and I'm surprised why it doesn't factor into it. It seems that would be the fair and just thing to do, but they just go with straight stats, batting average and homers and everything else, and not looking at certain clutch situations when a player didn't really come through as you might expect a superstar to do.
So, yeah, no, I don't know how they figure these out, but Bryan is what they call arbitration 4, along with Addison Russell, while Baez and Schwarber are at arbitration 3. Contreras and Almora are just arbitration 2.
Yeah, it's interesting to find out how they come up with those numbers. How do they determine those numbers?
You know, I'm thinking it might be games played or when you're called up. I'm not sure how they worked it out, but like, Bryant, Baez, Schwarber, and Russell all have one more year of arbitration after this. Contreras and Almora have two more. We'll have to kind of see.
You mentioned some numbers a couple of minutes ago, and I believe, did you say that Russell's number was higher than Contreras's?
Yes.
Five million compared to four and a half?
Yeah, he's a year ahead of Contreras, so that's why he's ahead of him.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if the Cubs picked up his option.
So, yeah, and that is always, they can always do that. They can actually decide to let a guy walk away, but, you know, there are other contracts, you know. John Lester is technically in the last year of his deal. They do have a mutual option next year for $25 million. Luckily, the Cubs actually have one more option on Anthony Rizzo for $16.5 million, so you know they'll be picking that up. Other than that, I mean, they're in a pretty good spot. Luckily for them, Tyler Chatwood is in the last year of his deal. I don't think he'll be back, and then so is Jose Quintana. I would be surprised to see them bring him back. And then Daniel Descalzo has a club option at $3.5 million for 2021 that I'm kind of under the impression they're going to pick that up because it's so cheap.
Yeah, well, they didn't get very much value out of him during the last season,
no.
That's for sure.
No, they did not. But he was fantastic in the clubhouse, according to Joe Madden.
Yeah, well, that means a lot, doesn't it? That put a lot of wins in the column for the Cubs. He was a good guy in the clubhouse, and he batted, what, about .190 or less at the plate?
Oh, yeah, he was lucky if he hit that, you know, but maybe. So.
Yeah, they have a lot of important decisions to make over the next season or two. They will really affect how the club will perform into the next decade.
So, but well, you know, on the plus side, I told you they're interested in bringing Brandon Morrow back. You know, I mean, things couldn't be better. You know, you go get a Japanese center fielder, you bring Brandon Morrow back, and you're set. I don't know what you're worried about.
And,
that's a world.
Another guy who was, when he was healthy, was terrific. Unfortunately, he had a history of having problems, and that's what happened. And once again, a good chance didn't work out too well for them.
So yeah, and then you know while we were on the Japanese players, I did forget to mention there is a posted player, the Yokohama. I believe they're the Giants, right? They're the Bay Stars. I thought they were the Giants. Oh well, the Yokohama Bay Stars have posted Yoshitomo Tsutsugo is what I'm going to go with. He is a 27-year-old. Actually be turning 28 here in about a week. They list him as a left fielder, third baseman, first baseman. A little more of a power hitter. He had 44 home runs 1 year, 38 another. Last year he hit 29. So, you'll have to pay for him. You got to pay the posting fee and then negotiate a contract with him.
And what's his
name? He'll be 29, is it? Let me check. He'll be 28 on November 26th. So.
Well, there may have been, as I pointed out before, there may have been a few Japanese players who have gone to the major leagues and done a great job. But I'm still skeptical about that being a good decision.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always hit or miss. You know, I mean, you don't really know what you're going to get. So, and I know you asked me earlier, Ichiro came to the majors when he was 27.
Right. Okay. That's a big difference. That's a big difference between 27 and 32. Oh, by the way, it'll be quite interesting to see how Joe Madden does with Ohtani next season. How is he going to use him?
Yeah. So...
Now his arm is supposedly ready to pitch again, right? He should be ready to go next season.
Yeah, that's the plan. He's supposed to be a regular starter now, and you know we'll see what actually happens with him. I don't really know, but
we'll have to. If he does become a starter, will they DH him on days when he doesn't pitch?
You know, what they did before was he DH'd, I think it was two days a week when he was a pitcher. So, you know, I don't think they get a ton out of him. I think he was just better as a hitter, but...
Yeah, they're going to have to be very careful with them if he starts next season.
No.
Oh, I wonder if we'll be on a pitch count.
Isn't everybody on a pitch count now?
Yeah, so. Right. That's baseball now, right?
It'll be interesting. You know, Madden isn't exactly the best handler of pitchers as it is, so we'll have to see how that plays out, but. I don't know. you know, I mean, especially since he's supposed to be such a good hitter, I just don't know if splitting him like this and costing him at bats is the best way to go.
Yeah, that maybe it'll just be a spot starter for them as compared to every five games, you know, one of the pitchers in the starting rotation.
So yeah, I it's tough at this point because you're all just kind of, well, we'll see how it goes. What are they doing? You know, what are these teams doing? Who are these teams? You know, so just a lot of speculation is what we get to do now for the next 6 months, 5 months, four months.
That's right. That's right. And
yeah.
I'm waiting for some team to make a major deal, but so far it has been pretty quiet on the baseball front.
Well, the Braves did sign a closer yesterday. They picked up Will Smith for 3 years at $40 million. So that at least we had something happen.
Yeah, well, Smith is a good pitcher, good closer, and the Braves will certainly be a contender again next season.
It was a big deal for, you know, that was their biggest weakness was the back end of that bullpen. And, you know, I know they added a couple of guys, Sean Green and Mark Melanson, to help out last season. And, you know, Smith will be able to step in, and they should be pretty solid at the back end this year. But, you know, it's a bullpen, so you just never know what the hell's going to happen.
You never know, but they have a very good, young, dynamic team. So I certainly wouldn't bet against them winning or repeating again in the East next season.
Yeah, you got to figure. I mean, they're definitely they look like a playoff team. So about obviously barring injury and any of that other stuff that went on, but
I did want to ask you one thing. Do you think Washington is a one-year wonder? Will they be as good next season? They're going to lose some players, so I'm not sure if they're going to be that impactful next season.
I think that's the big question. You know, obviously, if they get Strasburg and Rendon back, there's no reason at all they should contend again. You know, and in reality, even if they get Strasburg back, you know, they'll have the three big guys at the top of the rotation to work with, you know, so that could be enough for them to contend, depending on what they could find out of third base if they do lose Rendon. So, it's one of those fun, you know, well, if this happens or if that happens, you know, what will they do? So, you know, obviously if they lose Rendon and Strasburg, I don't think they contend. But, you know, if they manage to get Strasburg back, I think they can still contend. If they get just Rendon back, it's going to be a little tougher.
What do you think they're counting on in bringing back if they have a choice between those two players?
Well, you know, the advantage they have is Strasburg likes it there. If you remember when he signed this long-term deal, he's a Scott Boras guy, but he actually stood up to Boras and said, hey, look, I want to stay here, work this out. So that may work to their favor. The difficult part with Rendon is the Dodgers are in on him, and that equals big money because the Dodgers aren't afraid to spend. And, you know, it just may eventually float out of the Nationals' price range.
Right. And but that of course, will put the Dodgers over the salary cap, right? The luxury tax, right? Well, I don't think that's ever bothered them before.
Yeah, the Dodgers and the Yankees are the only two teams that don't care when it comes to the luxury tax. They're, you know, and especially with the situation the Dodgers have been in and with this, you know, goofy story coming out about the Astros maybe fiddling around there with some sign stealing in the World Series. I think the Dodgers are just hell-bent on getting back there no matter what the cost.
Yeah, and well, you know, they don't care about money, and I don't see anybody even closely resembling giving them competition in their division next season. That's a given anyway. I mean, you might as well start worrying about the playoffs now as compared to winning their division next season.
That's obviously the other advantage they have. I mean, you know, you expect the Padres to be better, but they're not going to contend. You know, I don't know what the heck happened with Colorado. They were supposed to be kind of a sleeper team, and they stunk. The Giants can't decide if they're rebuilding or playing to win, and I don't even know if I know what the Diamondbacks are. You know, I thought they were sellers at the trade deadline, but they didn't go all in. You know, they only moved the one starter and hung on to Robbie Ray. So, they're probably just a 500 team that leaves the Dodgers to win 100 games just by beating the teams in their division.
Yeah, I don't see anybody coming close to giving them competition for next season.
So, but yeah, that's the tough part there. You know, they're a tough team to go up against, when it comes to like, well, hey, we would like this guy, and well, we would like him too, and here you go, here's the Dodgers throwing all this money at him, and you're just kind of standing there going, yeah, great, we can't match that.
Yeah, I think they're going to wind up getting Rendon next season. And I stagger when I think about how much money he's going to make.
Yeah.
And how many years, of course, how many years is that going to be good for, a 5-6-year deal, you think?
Yeah, you got to figure, how old is he? He's 30. So, yeah, you got to figure 5 or 6 years.
Well, he's a heck of a player, and certainly that could do well for them in the playoffs roll around next season.
Yeah, he's definitely, a weapon to build with there. And, I know they've already pretty much said that Josh Turner has signed off on moving from third base. You know, he'll gladly move over to first or even second, and he's done that before. You know, he used to be a big-time utility guy. So,
yeah, you got to figure the Dodgers being one of the favorites to win it all next season.
Yeah, you know, just looking, I mean, you know, the big things they're going to have to replace, Hyunjin Ryu is a free agent, and then they got Rich Hill. I can't assume you bring Hill back with the injury. You know, even though oddly when he pitched, he was really good. He was 4-1 with a 2.45 ERA, but he only pitched 13 games. So
yeah, I've never been a big fan of Rich Hill, but he somehow gets the job done, and he's no youngster either. I mean, he's been around a while.
No. Well, you know, he'll be 40, but you know, he's left-handed, and those guys kind of hang around. But you know, they have so many young quality arms, you know, that even if they lost these two guys, they could just plug in a Julio Urias or Caleb Ferguson or Ross Stripling, or, you know, I know Dustin May had some decent starts for him, and you know, all these guys are 21 and 22.
They are going to be solid. That's for sure.
You know, like you said, with the division as weak as it is, you can plug one of these young guys into the rotation and let them learn.
Yeah, exactly right. And you were talking briefly before about the incident, the Houston cheating incident. Now, what can MLB do? And are they going to do anything about it?
Well, you know, I mean, at this point, the only thing really left to do are suspension and fines. You know, you're not going to take the World Series away from them.
No, they won't do that.
I find it really interesting that just these last playoffs, when Altuve hit the home run to beat the Yankees, there's audio where you can hear whistling before Chapman throws the pitch to him.
Well, there's
a lot of questions still with this year on if, you know, there was something going on.
Yeah, that's disturbing when you hear something like that. And, of course, Chapman has thrown more sliders this year. I forgot the pitch he threw that Altuve hit for the homer was a fastball or a slider. I'm trying to remember, but he certainly crushed it. And now you start wondering and thinking about these things, as you pointed out,
yeah.
after what's happened. And that Major League Baseball can't be very happy about this story coming out.
Oh, no. So, you know, oddly, it's not like this doesn't happen all the time. You know, I mean, teams have been trying to steal signs since the game started. It's just the way they went about it.
That's true. Now, it's legal. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's legal for a player at second base, for example, to steal a sign and pass it on to his dugout, isn't it? I mean, there's no rule against it.
No, what's illegal in this part is that they used electronic equipment to steal the sign.
Right, right. Yeah, but if a player at second base, for example, just by looking at the, you know, kind of flashes a sign into his dugout, that's okay. I think it's if he catches something. And that's why you'll notice, by the way, many times that a catcher will go out and talk to the pitcher when there's a runner at second base in a critical situation. They may start to switch signs to prevent that
yeah.
from happening.
You know, and that's the reason why they use multiple signs with a runner on second base, so they don't know, you know, how, you know, what, you know, the guy's going to throw.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And did that ever happen with you when you were catching? Did you ever kind of go out and talk to the pitcher and have a suspect maybe the talk about sign changing, even at the college level?
The first time you get a runner on second base, you have to go out and remind him what sign you're using. Because you always pick before the game, you know, the first sign after I do this, or it's the third sign in the order that I give them, or however it works. But, you know, these guys got other things on their mind. So, you know, when the first time that guy gets to second base, you run out real quick and say, hey, remember what we're doing? It's this.
Yeah, that's important. And I heard a story one time that in Little League, the coaches all figure out what the pitcher's going to throw, and they'll talk to the opposing coach after the game. Hey, I caught six of your signs. How many did you catch on mine? And he says, I caught five. But they don't tell the batters that. And if true, that's a good story. That's the way it should be.
So, yeah, no, you know, like we did everything we could to, you know, steal signs.
Sure, but it was done in a legal manner.
Yeah, you know, because we had our stuff all worked out. You know, if it was a fastball, you were called by your name, you know, your last name. And then if it was a breaking pitch, you were called by your number.
Now, there's always little things you can use, I guess. Huh? That makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just how it kind of goes. And, again, you know, that's been going on for, you know, again, since the game started in, you know, the 1800s.
Yeah, exactly. And why did it take 2 years before this story about Houston came out?
Well, you know, there was always talk about it. If you remember Danny Farquhar, unfortunately most people remember him from, you know, having the stroke while pitching for the White Sox.
Right, right.
You know, sadly, but when he was pitching, he mentioned that every time he threw a changeup, he heard a whistle. And he actually called the catcher out, and they changed the sign so you wouldn't know when the changeup was coming.
Yeah, there's been, like you pointed out, there's been rumors before, but nothing as definitive as what popped recently regarding the Houston's what went on in Houston in 2017.
So yeah, you know, and I mean, again, you know, what's going to come of it? You know, what can they do? You know,
yeah,
really the question. You know, and then of course the tough thing is they still got to prove this.
Which won't be easy,
right?
And will MLB do anything about it? Will they say, "Hey, we're gonna investigate these claims"? Are they gonna actually investigate? Or are they gonna say duly noted and move on?
Well, I believe they're actually already investigating. So,
but as you pointed out, it's hard to go back for something that happened 2 years ago. And really do a thorough job of investigation.
Yeah, you know, it's so difficult. I mean, Dan and I were talking about it yesterday. I guess one of the things you'll have to do is get game tape from the 2017. I mean, start with the World Series or wherever you want and see if you can hear banging on trash cans or whistling. You know, somebody's probably going to get that job, right?
Yeah, that's certainly disturbing, though, that story. That bothers you when something like that happens.
So, you know, and again, like I don't have a problem with them stealing signs. You know, like I said, it's been part of the game forever. It's just the way they went about doing it. That's going to be a bigger problem. You know, I mean, we rely so much on electronics, and they're just going to get better and better. You know what?
Right, exactly. And here's a story that you probably don't know about because it took place way before your time. And there was a three-game playoff in 1951 between the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants. And of course, as everybody knows, there was a famous home run hit by Bobby Thompson against Ralph Branca in the third game. And to this day, there was speculation that they had someone stealing the signs from the scoreboard in the outfield. I don't know if you ever heard that one or not.
Yeah, I actually did hear that not too long ago. Somebody mentioned when this came up before, they had a discussion about sign stealing, and somebody mentioned that, yeah, it goes back all the way to this where, you know, yeah, there was talk that Thompson knew what was coming.
Exactly right. And to this day, there's still speculation about it to this day. And, of course, that was one of the most dramatic and famous home runs in playoff history.
Definitely, you know, right up there. And, well, you know, like I know the White Sox had a thing just a couple of years ago with the Tigers, where the White Sox were convinced the Tigers had somebody sitting in center field, and the White Sox were convinced that he was out there with a pair of binoculars relaying signs. And I believe this actually led to a bench-clearing brawl between the two teams.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that story now that you mention it. And, yeah, and you said, what, a couple of years ago this took place?
Yeah, because Chris Sale was still a White Sox, so it was just 2 or 3 years ago.
And at that time, Detroit was a non-contender also, as they are now.
You know, they were probably, you know, much better than they were now, but that's just because they're so bad this year.
Yeah, maybe closer to 500 than obviously than maybe what they did this season. But yeah, you'd like to see that this thing being eliminated. But what can MLB do if they make the investigation and find it substantiated? What can they do to prevent it in the future?
Right. Well, you know, remember, God, I think it was just 2017, or maybe it was 2018. The Red Sox got caught using an Apple Watch
to
steal signs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess it's a lot easier to do these things now, and that, you know, the modern era of the electronics that we have right now, that they can do these things that they couldn't do before. But you'd like to see some kind of policing to prevent these things from happening.
So yeah, it's so difficult. Again, I mean, you know, how can you monitor the electronics? You know, you've got to find a way to, you know, control it or do something. And, you know, I know there's supposed to be a delay, and, you know, they have lots of alleged support systems in, but obviously it didn't work.
Yeah, supposedly, when the TV's on in the, say, in the dressing room, during the game, there's supposed to be a 6 or 7 second delay to prevent some other things from happening. And I'm wondering if that actually works that way. Supposedly, it's like when you listen to watch a game on TV, and if you listen to it on the radio, you know, there's a 6 or 7 second delay, and maybe they incorporate that into the sets in the dressing rooms, and someone can go in and try to figure out a sign stealing that way too.
So yeah, you know, that's again, I can't see a solution here. You know, it's like, okay, well, let's not do it, but are you, you know, what, are we going to put everybody on the honor system? How do we work this out?
Well, they should put some kind of stringent penalties if they catch somebody doing it. That would impact a team's ability to go out and get free agents or get some amateur players in the draft or something else that really would prevent them, worry them enough that they would not do it anymore. But it's still going to happen, I'm afraid.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, the difficult part. You know, if they do find out the Astros did this, I think they've got to come down on them pretty hard to try to defer teams. And I'm talking like loss of draft picks and international pool money, and it really, you know, really difficult on them. I mean, finding them isn't going to do anything.
No.
So.
No, they've got to make it more stringent than that.
You know, and yeah, if that's, you know, if you want to hurt a team, that's how you do that. I mean, you know, take away those draft picks and that international pool money so they can't get in there and sign these guys.
Yeah, well, they have to be pretty sure that the something actually took place before they make these fines. So that won't be easy to do.
No, it's definitely going to be tough, you know, I mean, because, you know, there's obviously going to be explanations for everything. So,
yeah.
We'll, you know, we'll see. But, other than that, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, well, interesting to see what MLB does with this.
Yeah, it should be a. I'm sure it'll be quite the fiasco when they, when they come up.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's how it seems to be. So, you know, that's it. But yeah, like I said, it'll be a journey, I guess, that we'll get to follow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
So. Yeah, exactly.
I was lucky enough to drop very easy. I just don't know if the winner or how I'm going to be back on. So we're going to take a day off. And then we'll be back here Tuesday. You know the deal while we're gone. Like, sportsmanradio.com. Look for that new blog post that I'll have tomorrow. I just want to hit the link and follow it over to the Facebook page. Hey, you want to win all the world. Just go ahead and get that over. Don't forget to Twitter Tuesday, which is at Sportsman Radio. Of course, feel free to look me up on Twitter as well. I am at Sportsman. It's URKB. It's And then